and you're very welcome to an Irish League podcast called Kicking Match. My name is Peter Cinnamond, and there's just one last trophy up for grabs. In this Irish Cup special, we chat to representatives from both clubs to get an insight into how the teams are shaping up as we prepare to run back last year's drama-filled final. Will it be a case of Crusaders repeating the feat of last year and become only the second team not named Linfield to retain the cup this century? Or can Ballymena bounce back and exercise those ever so cruel stoppage time demons and take the trophy back up the M2? Might it be the final hurrah for some, or perhaps the coronation of a brand new star? The motor's running, so let's get this show on the road. Big week. Irish Cup final week always feels like it has a bit more pageantry to it all. Kind of fun that we're in this situation where we're able to bring back, we're having a repeat of such a brilliant final, such an iconic final last year. I'm sure for some people in this podcast, they'll look for a very similar result. The other side will be looking for something a wee bit different. With such a big week, a bigger podcast, an extra chair, two guests for the price of one, and both of them are making their podcast debut. First, over in the black and red corner, he is a part of the Crusaders media team. He helped host the Cruise Cast podcast, as well as commentating on games for Cruise TV. Hello and welcome, Gavin Martin.
Peter, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me here. Big week to look forward to.
Shifting over to the sky blue corner, it's a delight to welcome into the podcast. He is a part of that Ballymena media team. He's the man asking David Jeffrey all the hard questions. He's hoping he'll be able to have a few softballs by the end of Sunday. It's great to welcome on board the podcast. Hello, Anthony Greer.
Hello, I'm here. Thank you for having me as well.
No, great to have both sides on. Clearly, we have lots to talk about. And of course, the big thing is the cup final. One of the big headlines around this is that it is, of course, a repeat of 2022. It's going to be Ballymena, and it's going to be against the Crews. Gavin, going into this game, it was your team who lifted up the trophy last season in an incredible, dramatic game. You'll obviously know that Ballymena are coming into this with a lot on the line. First and foremost, it's going to be about pride, and it's going to be about getting a bit of revenge. Do you kind of feel there's a certain narrative coming up here where this is about a redemption story for Ballymena and potentially the Crews are the baddies in the situation?
Yeah, no doubt. I think everyone remembers last year's final, and just, you know, the Ballymena point of view, they probably thought that the game should have been, you know, over, and then just Crusaders do what Crusaders do and just fight right to the end. And, you know, it was actually the subs that played a massive part last year. Josh Robinson comes on, gets that equaliser, and then, you know, Johnny McMurray with what a finish, you know, in extra time, and what a time to score as well, because just as penalties are looming. So yeah, I think our managers made note of that over the last few weeks around, you know, the story of revenge and for Ballymena. And to be fair, when you looked at the semi-final, Ballymena Lorne, you kind of think, listen, I think it's going to be Lorne, but fair play to Ballymena. They were exceptional on the night at Seaview, and they're there in merit. So it's a big task. It's a big game. But I think at this stage of the competition as well, anybody that reaches the final, and yes, they may have this revenge mission, but I wouldn't expect Crusaders just to lie down and want to give up their trophy lightly.
Absolutely not. And I'll say this, Anthony, I would. The question here would be, what do you remember about that game last year? I'm sure what you're going to say is, you've been trying to forget it all season.
It was the most enjoyable thing for about 85 minutes of it. As soon as from the first goal until they scored, it was so enjoyable to even watch. But then I can't even remember their equaliser. It was just, I just turned around, stared at my friend, and that was disbelief, really. And then the winner was just even worse. I can't even. The fact that he turned his shirt around and put his name in the front made it even 10 times worse.
And, you know, what's funny about it is, and we've talked about it a lot in this podcast over the season, where how much those big moments can either spur a team on or they can haunt them. And I think it's fair to say, for particularly an early part of the season, you could hear your manager, David Jeffrey, talk about this, is that the way the final happened, the way the trophy fell out of their hands, that lingered a lot in the background for a while. And I'm thinking about that game against Glenavon at the start of the season. That took a while to shake off. That wasn't a goldfish moment. That lingered a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it was the start of the season, especially with that 95th minute, I think it was, equaliser, which was, they had 9 men as well, which was the worst part about it. Just didn't start well for the season, but I mean, we haven't had the most entertaining seasons, but we've kept on going, especially in the semi-final there.
Well, it's been rather a purple patch when it comes to Ballymena in finals over the past few years, particularly under this David Jeffrey era. Getting there 2 years in a row is an absolutely massive achievement. And you'll have that big day out on Sunday, absolutely. But outside of that occasion, and this is for both teams here, there's still a trophy on the line. And of course, the bigger part of this is Europe and everything that comes with it. I know for any cup final, there's going to be nerves. But do you feel a certain extra bit of nerves knowing that your future could be going one way or the other? You know, there's so much on the line here.
I didn't really expect us to get to the final, to be completely honest. So it's more nerves and excitement than anything, really. I mean, going to Europe would be great. But like you say, I think beating Crusaders would make it even more sweeter this year after last year's events.
Gavin, you know, come on. Crews are built for these big cup finals. You've had an incredible 10 years. But the big thing that's on the line for Crusaders is you want your season to end this weekend and to be absolutely done and dusted. This cup final has been something Stephen Bax has been working towards. You've seen in the past few weeks some players are being rested, and now it comes up for this weekend because Europe's key. It's such a key goal for a team like Crusaders every single season. And if it doesn't work out on Sunday, there's a second bite of the cherry through the playoffs. But that's the last thing you want to be doing again. You want to get it done at the first time of asking.
Absolutely. I think Peter, there's two sides to it. I think you look at the football in Northern Ireland and you talk about what's at stake in an Irish Cup final, and you talk about the European place and the financials to go ahead of that, and that allows you to strengthen your team. And so I think that's really important for the progression of the football club. But I think secondary to that, and probably more important from a player's point of view and the coaching staff and all the people involved, is that the final is the final and you want to win in it. You want to look back at a special time where you can get your hands on that trophy. So I think there's two sides to that. Of course, I think you do get a second chance if we were to lose on Sunday. It's not a route anybody wants to go down. You know, and there's been so many moving parts in the split, essentially. You've had to, you know, find the balance. Jordan Forsyth, Philip Lawry haven't played. You know, they played the Larne game, but they had 9 yellow cards, so if they had been booked in either of those remaining games, they would have missed out on the playoffs. So you've had to balance that. But we've put out teams, and even on Saturday against Glentoran, you know, we put out a team that was capable of getting points on the board. And you look where we finished, you know, had we have scored an equaliser on Saturday or not conceded the second and came away with the point, we could have, you know, had a home advantage tie. But I think you have to probably live in the moment and look at the Irish Cup final and say, right, outside of the route into Europe, let's go and enjoy the final.
One player who won't be there and will not get into the details of how you feel about it, but Billy Joe Burns won't be there. That red card was held up. He will absolutely be a big loss, not from just a playing point of view, but a leadership point of view. This is a team that has a lot of experience, but he's a real focal point of that. Who are we likely to see in there in his place, and does it change how Crusaders will set themselves up, do you think?
I think there's loads of options we've seen over the last 3 or 4 weeks. That, you know, we've seen Cliftonville, Daniel Armour then played right back. We changed in the second half to back three. We've Robbie Weir that can play in there. Jordan Forsyth has done that. And in terms of, so positionally, in terms of his position, I think there's loads. And I think that's probably one of the big things about Crusaders that we've seen all season. You know, I think back to going to Windsor Park and playing infield, you know, with Philip Lawry and Gary Thompson at centre-half in the second half, with Paul Healy playing centre-midfield with Declan Goodell, who'd retired 8 months earlier. All the players have that flexibility, and I think that's been a big thing for us. So Billy Joe Burns, undoubtedly, I think, having now, you know, got to know him, you sort of feel personally for him. It's a bit, you know, I think he's maybe 33, 34, and you're kind of looking at it and saying he's missing out on a massive final. But we done a podcast last week, and one thing's for sure, he may not be putting on his boots and being, you know, in a starting position, but Billy Joe Burns will have a big role to play come Sunday in the build-up to the game, his leadership in the changing room before the game at halftime. He will pretty much still be kicking every ball, albeit from the stands. But there's loads of leadership players, and you know, Philip Lowry, you know, Robbie Weir, Jordan Forsyth, Jordan Owens. There's loads of big characters, people with experience of playing in Irish Cup finals, and all being well, that will stand us in good stead come Sunday.
Anthony, if there's going to be sky blue ribbons round the trophy on Sunday, who do you think is going to have had a massive game? Who's going to be the big key player, do you think, on Sunday for Ballymena? Is it going to be a big performance at the back, or are you looking more towards up top and it's going to be a goal scorer or a creative player who's going to have a big day for you guys to exact that revenge we were talking about?
Well, our last two games as Crusaders, we've had a 1-0 and a 0-0 with a rocket from Tim Nelson like to win it. So it'll be a tight game. I really do hope it'll be David McDade to get the winner. I think he'll need to play very well up there, as the defence has been very good so far in a few big games this season, especially with Craig Farquhar coming in. And he's been exceptional since he only really played the last couple months. I can't even remember what his first game was, but he hasn't really been left out of the squad since. I think the defence has proved itself recently.
Yeah, I remember seeing him. I think he came on as a sub against Crusaders in Ballymena Showgrounds a few months ago, and he was brilliant. What age is he, Anthony? Is he's 18 or 17, maybe?
I think he's 19. I think he started every game since that Crusaders one.
Yeah. And he's a big player, and he scored, of course, in the semi-final as well. So that aerial threat is going to be something that we'd have to look out for. And even going back and looking at the Ballymena, the way they've been playing, set pieces is a big opportunity for them.
Yeah, both our goals in the semi-final came from a Craig Farquhar header and then a Dougie Wilson free kick. So the defender's proven the worth in goals, that's for sure, from the set pieces.
To pull back the curtain ever so slightly, the Ballymena media team are gathered together doing a bit of prep ahead of this big week, ahead of the cup final on Sunday. And as a part of that, they are joined by a very special guest. And that very special guest is happy to jump on and say hello to myself and all you lot on there now. They're an absolute legend of Northern Irish broadcasting, and they're going to jump on the podcast now.
This is a treat.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, Mr. Jackie Fullerton. How are you?
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Well, we'll just kind of go with it. You've been here so much. You've felt a build-up to so many cup finals, rarely with Ballymena in it, of course. But going into this, how are you feeling about your Sky Blues?
Oh, I'm feeling very confident, in fact. After what happened last year, when Crusaders stole right at the death, I mean, we were cut in two. David Jeffrey, I believe, was in tears at the press conference afterwards. It really was a sickening blow. And I think if there's any karma at all, that United, my wee hometown team, can take the spoils, but they haven't been great form this season. They've been poor at times. But Crusaders, well, you're never sure which Crusaders team is going to turn up. So for the Ballymena players to look at Crusaders and think, well, they're beatable. And Ballymena, after all, did beat Larne, well-deserved league champions. They beat them in the semi-final, and they beat them well. That would give them a huge boost and feel, well, if we can beat the league champions, then we have a chance against Crusaders. Football, though, doesn't work that way. It's on the day. But Jeffrey has been there and done it so many times in Cups. And I look back over the years. 1989 was the last time we won the Irish Cup. The late Alec McKee, great friend of mine, was the manager. And we've been waiting a long time, so I'm just hopeful that time is now.
You make a really key point there. We can talk about that Crusaders team and how much experience they have of winning the league, winning trophies. But of course, the one person there who has the most experience out of everybody And Stephen Jeffrey, how many big finals has he been in, either with Ballymena, but of course during his time at Limfield? If you want someone to guide this Ballymena team into that big day on Sunday, he's the man. He'll have the words of wisdom to gee them up.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's no better man than David Jeffrey. He's had a tough time this season. A lot of the fans are on his case. Results haven't been good. I understand the frustration of the fans, but they have to realise that the big fella is the best in the business and has been for a long time. What was it, 31 trophies or something at Linfield? And 6 League and Cup doubles at a time in 7 years. He's been there and done that. And he knows, and that's why he felt the cruelty of last year with Crusaders taking it right at the death, deep into injury time. The nice thing is that they won on Saturday past against Dungannon Swifts. People say, oh, well, they should beat Dungannon Swifts. The way we've been playing in the league, we have no divine right to beat Dungannon Swifts, but we did. And that little 1-0 win will give us a lift and a boost. But I think the semi-final win over Larne will give them an even bigger boost that, yes, we can take on the big boys. And it's difficult these days. The league has changed a lot, Peter, and full-time teams, part-time teams. The gap is getting bigger. And that's why it's difficult. So Ballymena are going up against a full-time, well, virtually full-time team in Crusaders. And but they are one of the teams that Ballymena will feel they can beat. I honestly believe that. And I just hope so. I love Crusaders as a club. I played there. I helped them win the first league title back in 1973. Great people at that club. And they deserve all the success they've had over the years. Stephen Baxter is a great friend of mine. He's been a great manager, was a great striker in his day as well for Linfield and Crusaders. And he will be up for it. He knows how to win as well as David. But I'm hoping the ball bounces David's way. Sorry, Stephen.
One of the things in the lead up to the cup final is we've seen people talk about it with Larne and how their big lead into to them taking over and winning the league, how much the atmosphere in the town was building, how much that was such a great thing. Have you noticed it this year as well, the talk of the town as they prepare to head down to Belfast for a big cup final?
Oh yeah, I live locally and people are talking about, are you going to the final? Are you going to the final? Sadly, I can't go to the final because I'm involved in a charity gig in Portrush. It was the same last year, and I only got to see a bit of the game, the end of the game, sadly, when Ballymena were robbed. It's happened again. It's on the same date, same weekend, but I will be watching it on BBC television. But everybody's up for it, and why shouldn't they be? It's not every day we're in cup finals. We've known disappointment in the Irish Cup in the past. Since 1989, we've been in a few cups. I was lucky enough to commentate Ballymena. I think I did 25 or 26 Irish Cup finals, and they beat Carrick Rangers 4-1 in 1984. And people said to me at that time, you've been a Ballymena boy, will you be biased or not? I said, no, I'll be too busy doing my job, reading the game, identifying the players, trying to relay the excitement of the occasion to the viewers. Do you know the first time that day in that cup final that I realized Ballymena had done it was when at the end, when I said the final score in this Irish Cup final, Bass Irish Cup final, is Ballymena United 4, Carrick Rangers 1. The cup is on its way back to Braeside. And it was only after I put the mic down, I thought, yes, my wee team won. But yeah, well, you know, doing things like this, you're totally concentrated on what you're doing. You haven't time to be biased. That's my story.
Jackie, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for spending a bit of time chatting to us. And I would say I wish you luck, but I'm going to have to keep it even. Just it's very nice chatting to you.
And your position, you have to be neutral. Nice to talk to you.
A privilege.
And, Do I send you an invoice or do you just send me a check or something?
Good stuff, good stuff. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Come on, the Sky Blues.
Well, that's a first for me, for sure.
Well, I feel like I should make a few phone calls and see if maybe Carl Frampton or somebody's available.
No pressure, Anthony.
Oh, dear. There's nobody better than Jackie.
Looking at this Crusaders team in the final, I'm seeing the players who played last year, and there's not going to be a huge amount of change. I can see how this could be, hopefully for you, a big day for the likes of Paul Heatley. Who else are we likely to see playing there? Is there a chance Jordan Owens has sneaked his way into a potential starting berth?
Yeah, but potentially. I think you're right. When you look at the team last year, there hasn't been a lot of, you know, Ben Kennedy's obviously the one that has been the big miss. He's been a massive miss all season. I don't think I'm being too biased by saying that he's one of the best players in the league, if not the best for me anyway. So I think he will be a big miss. But I guess we've learned over the past few months to kind of find a way without him. BJ's not going to be playing. Jordan Owens is, you know, we've seen the second half when he came on at last year's final. Not only his own threat and he gets others playing around him, but he occupies defenders. So yes, there's a possibility we'll see Jordan Owens. Adam Leckie, who played on Saturday, who I thought was really good, for 60, 70 minutes, whatever he played. So you just don't know. And I guess it might come down to form. It might come down to the opposition. We're playing Ballymena, who I think are a big, strong, physical side when you look through their whole spine of their team. So there's different ways of playing. I think Crusaders have shown over the past few years, I think when Jordan Owens led the line, we got accused a lot of playing this long ball up, you know, and it wasn't that. It's just when you've got Jordan Owens in your team and he was going to win the first header, Paul Heatley, Ross Clark, you know, in the early days, Gavin White running around him. But I think over the past few years, when he hasn't started, Crusaders show that they have different ways of playing. And I think the final you could see three or four different styles of playing depending on how the game goes.
Another question for me that I've got circled is probably around Ross Clark. He's been in and out of the team in recent weeks. Where would he stand, like shape-wise? You know, I was there for the absolutely incredible 3-3 game where against Cliftonville in North Belfast Derby 2 weeks ago, where obviously you didn't have Laurie, you didn't have Forsyth. At the minute, do you kind of have an idea? Could he feature or is he likely to continue his role with more of a bench presence?
No, I think the split games, I don't think he can read a lot into it. I think because we secured, you know, at the start of April, we secured our place in the final. I think there was it'd be very difficult to say who's going to play and where because of somebody not having played over the past few weeks. I think Ross Clark was left out for one game prior to the home game against Cliftonville, the 3-3 in that lovely rainy evening when Jordan Forsyth scored an absolute worldie of a free kick. Ross Clark, that was his first game where he hadn't started. He came off the bench and he scored a great goal. And then he gets back in the side. He scored against away to Portadown straight after. So I think Ross Clark's exceptional on his day. And I think even with him and Paul Healy and football across the world, in their positions when you're playing out wide and you're, especially in modern football, you don't often see 4-4-2 formations. You know, so you've usually got three strikers, two wingers and one man through the middle. I think those types of players, they can't be brilliant and at their best 100% of the time. But I think if Ross Clark, Paul Healy, they've got it in their locker. And I think if you're a Ballymena defender, it's the last player you want to see running at you, either of them two, just with their pace and their ability to go at you one-on-one. So I think Ross Clark could play a big part in on Sunday.
The one thing that I'm sure Crusaders will not want to see, particularly if it's evens near later on in the game, is a free kick outside the box about 25 yards out. Ballymena have more than one player who can ping that right into the top drawer. I'm sure you've kind of seen that as a bit of a secret weapon for this team over the season, Anthony.
It's everybody that you wouldn't expect really be taking. That's the main thing. We've Dougie Wilson in the semi-final there. He scored a, you couldn't have put it more, top corner. I think everybody thought David McDade was going to take it. We had, earlier on the season, Ross Redmond scored one against Coleraine, which couldn't have been more top, well, couldn't be more top corner either. Last season, Stephen McCulloch had about three from the semi-final and the split, really. So we're good left-footed free kicks, that's for sure.
That will be the fear with it. We did talk about how Ballymena have not had the greatest 2023, bar, of course, that semi-final win against Larne, and of course, the entire cup run. The past three games, that's somewhat started to perk up. You're the man that's asking the questions to David Jeffrey after the game for your social channels, and I've been watching them, and it hasn't been like a nonchalant, well, we didn't win again. He has been frustrated, and he's felt as though you haven't been that far away. I remember him highlighting that on this big run, which stretched from mid-January up until a few weeks ago, and he was counting the amount of 1-0 losses that you've faced. A big part of that is that you're losing, yes, but you're not losing by a lot. Perhaps in the past few weeks, have you seen shoots of recovery in those last three games that you haven't lost in?
I think the semi-final was a really big lift. The fact that we were the big underdogs for it, especially because of the form, I think that gave everybody a lift going into the split, definitely. I think once we sort of lost to Portadown at the start of the split, really, seventh wasn't really on the cards, and it was more, we scored a few goals recently, which haven't really happened in the last few months. I think that's what we got, five in our last three games there, well, which has been a big lift because they haven't really been at it recently, but they've been secure enough. I mean, it's always been positive from David as well in the interviews. He hasn't been really angry at the performances. It's been more just hard luck, as he said. I think we've had multiple times a few offside goals off the post. It's been a few scrambles. It's especially that Glenavon game there near the start of the split. To remember Kenny Keane hitting the post, Jordan Gibson had an offside goal. There was a few mistakes. There was a Jordan Williamson mistake for one of the goals. It hasn't really been poor performances. It just hasn't been going our way recently.
I look at the Ballymena side, and I often think that it's quite malleable, with a lot of players that seem to blend this idea of defence and midfield. I know three at the back has been something that David Jeffrey's been working on with the team in the past few months. Are you likely to continue that, you think, going into the game against Crusaders, or do you think there could be a wee spanner in the works shape-wise?
Well, I think that three's definitely worked well together the last few. Ever since Craig Farquhar's come into the team, I think they've played well together. That's well, as well as Dougie Wilson was out for a good near enough a year. Scott Whiteside was out for nearly two. I think Dougie Wilson's first game back was when we beat the Crews up at Seaview earlier in the season. I think Robbie McVarnick coming in January has been a big lift. Nobody really knew much about him, but he's been incredible. I think in that Larne game there in the semi-final especially, he was up and down, making tackles in the box, and he was my man the match for me in that semi-final. I think he's been a big lift.
Well, on my list of things that probably annoy old school football fans, this might be up there. Gavin, I'm going to talk to you about it. It's connected to a wee bit to your preview pod via Cruisecast. For the second season in a row, Crusaders are going to be debuting some sweet new threads. I posted about it on my account, and there was a lot of opinions about it. Let's get to the big thing first, white shorts.
Yeah, I think, and I've seen some of the comments, I think that is a historical thing with Crusaders going back all those years ago. But I have to say, Peter, I seen the kit last Tuesday. I seen the images that come out on all the socials, and then I seen them up close and personal, and they're pretty class, and actually better than the photos do it justice for. So I think I can't see us wearing the white shorts and white socks on Sunday, given just with the blue. So, but yeah, I think that we've always had a nice few kits over the years. I think these ones are pretty cool, and hopefully they bring us good luck on Sunday.
The Hummel ones, I like the ones from there. I think overall people were very, very positive about it. You're keeping the, because Crusaders have mixed it up quite a lot over the past few years, where sometimes being majority black, sometimes red's been the dominant colour. This feels like the first time, you know, there's been the odd one that pops up, but you've really went for the traditional black and red stripes, all even, no playing it around, and there's no better place to hopefully start some great memories in your eyes than be the first run out of it, be something that's associated with lifting the big cup.
I'm hoping I thought maybe we were signing a few Italians maybe in the summer, and it's an AC Milan retro. We're going to, it's the fit in the blend of our Italian boys coming on board.
Well, you'll want some Italian style defending if you're going to do the big stuff. Just on the cruise cast, that's obviously a big thing that you do. You're there doing commentary for Cruise TV for the games at home. You've done your own preview cast when you're talking to the players. Tell us a bit about that. Who did you have on? What was the chat that was going down?
Mainly, I guess, probably what you're doing and getting an overall flavour of the league. We sort of wanted to engage more with supporters, that they could hear fans' point of views and touch on some of the stuff that was going on in the season. So we done some more at the start of the season, but it's hard as well when the guys are, you know, they're training during the week and they're there 3 times a week, and then you're asking them to stay for an extra hour and a half at night and so forth. So it was just cautious around all of that. But given with the Irish Cup final, you know, we had Philip Lowry, Billy Joe Burns, Jordan Forsyth and Jordan Owens on last week's, and it was really just previewing this game. And I was trying to get into, I guess, the players' perspective of it all. We all watch it as fans and we really want to win, and, you know, we're nervous, excitement and all those things. And I had my head around this Ballymena revenge thing and how much of an impact that has on our players. And I think it was actually last year when we won it, I interviewed Philip Lowry, and he said, you know, because he's got 5 Irish Cup winners medals, which is incredible.
Wow, that is amazing.
So and I asked him about last year's performance, and he says, in all the time winning these trophies, he hasn't really been involved in a great game of football for the neutral, or, you know, a nice game to watch in. It's all about getting over the line. So that was some of the stuff that he shared, you know, last week with us. And they're up for it, but they still had the Glen Torn game to prepare for. But now, you know, into the final week, you just hopefully it's all just the little bits of extra information that they need, and hopefully we have a good squad to pick from come Sunday lunchtime.
Will there be any fun traditions? I want some photographs of like cup final suits, or is there anything like that, or has that been banished to the days of the 90s?
No, there's definitely suits. Billy Joe Burns was responsible for picking the suits. He done that last week. I think he made a joke last week that him and Stephen Baxter were in charge of getting the suits, but I think Billy Joe had to, you know, take over from it because Stephen had these red velvet jackets picked out that I don't think the players were too keen on. So yes, the suit's nice, and I'm sure the lads will all look the part on Sunday.
Before we get into the big final preview of what we may think will happen or could happen this Sunday, the league is now over. We've played our 38 games. Crusaders end the season almost undefeated at home, bar, of course, that game against Ballymena. And they had such a perfect run there at home. And then, of course, the split comes and a few other results go your way. It was a team where you had people like Barr and Murphy started in nets. You know, that was a team that was resting some of the big guns ahead of the final. Quick note for Jay Boyd. It's a scruffy goal that he pulls back late doors. But, you know, a lot of people are hyping him up. That could be a big, big player for the future.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant on Saturday. And I think there's I guess probably one of the things that you have to take trust in is around all of the coaches and the manager working with players like Jay Boyd. David Rainey has done an exceptional job with him this season. He's their top goal scorer in the reserve league by the under-20s by a country mile. And you hear all these great reports about him, which is super for him. I think I'd asked some of the players this as well, and it's just a balance around when you put someone like that into the team. You know, Anthony mentioned Craig Farquhar, who went in. He probably went in through somebody getting injured, and they had to throw him into the mix. And often that's the times where these players, you know, come to fruition. And Jay Boyd was a bit like that Saturday. You know, there was an opportunity to get him on the pitch and give him his first start. And he was really good. He's strong. He can run the channels. He bullies you. He nudges you off the ball. And he's a great finisher, and I think even just that goal, you know, he had 5 minutes before he turned his man and smash one off the post, but then to get his first goal, he could be a big player. He could be a big player on Sunday. You just never know if he could come into the squad. He could start the game. You just don't know what way this is going to go. But I think definitely he's one for the future. And I think as he keeps playing for Crusaders, he'll become a fan favourite.
An interesting approach for Ballymena going into this game. We talk about how Crusaders have rested some key players and have wanted to avoid any further suspensions. For Ballymena, it seemed as though they've been trying to get a bit of a run going. You haven't seen too many players who have been rested for an extended run. And you finish the season on a high, 1-0 against Carrick Rangers. And you get out somewhat unscathed when it comes to the goalkeeper position. Jordan Williamson was subbed off at half time. Is that a potential position where it might be up in the air who's going to start on Sunday?
Well, I think Jordan Williamson...
Yes, please share this, Anthony. Please share this news with us all.
I think Jordan Williamson has started the semi-final, but he has been just suspended though against Lauren. I think it was more just precaution, really, just to make sure he's definitely fit for Sunday coming up. I think we played near enough our strongest team, basically, I think, there on Saturday past, because I think it was about 14 games we hadn't won in. I think getting that sort of form near the end of the season was sort of crucial even to have any hope for the final, really. I think you sort of need to be in a better spirit than we were earlier on, because if we went in without a win near enough in the split, it wouldn't have been very exciting, for sure.
Absolutely. With that, of course, the news outside of the cup final is, well, it was confirmed last week that Portadown were relegated. Of course, now the season's over. That's all nailed on. They finished 12th. And one of the big questions was with this squad that had been assembled with random bits and pieces, first in the summer and then in January, who was going to stick around? Niall Curry had talked on the Score NI podcast with Michael Clark that he said there was only about two players that were actually under contract and they weren't going to be weighed down by players who, you know, potentially had a big wage, premiership wage, and that it was potentially going to be another rebuild. And just before we record this, one of the first key cogs of this rebuild seems to be nailed on. A player who was given the armband against Glenavon on Saturday. Player both you two will know well, Paul McElroy, has signed on for 3 years with Portadown. And FDR, and I'm sure they want to get out of the championship, he is going to be a huge player for them. He was massive for them since January. He was their top scorer after only playing a few games. A huge miss for three of those games in the split where he was suspended. He will be playing championship football next season. Of course, he may do if they don't get out. But as first steps out of the traps are, as a part of this now rebuild that Niall Curry has on his hands, that is a huge statement from them.
Yeah, massive. I think Anthony will probably know more about Paul McElroy than I did. I think he came, I really liked him at Dungannon. He was super for them when he came. Jamie McGonigal had signed in that same transfer window. Jordan Owens was playing a lot of football. You know, you pull Healy, Ross Clark, come back, and you can only play really, you know, three out of all of those players. But you've seen glimpses of him, and I think, you know, when Ballymena signed him, it was the same time that Crusaders got Adam Leckie. But I always thought Paul McElroy was a great footballer, and he can play on the left, he can play through the middle. So that's really big for Niall Curry, and I think, you know, I listened to that around the two players, because I think when they were signing everybody in January, they were thinking, wow, these are big players, and probably, you know, you're probably going to pay a lot of money for them because they're Premiership players. What happens if you don't? But to be fair to Portadown and Niall Curry in particular, you know, he gave it a right go. I think when he came in, like, I don't think anybody gave him a chance, and to get so close. But sometimes in hindsight, and it might be next year that they say, you know, we were right to go down because it allowed us to rebuild it again and become a stronger Premiership team. And I have no doubt that Niall Curry will bounce straight back up with Portadown. But Paul McElroy leading that, if he's going to be the captain, then, you know, it's a good head start to the championship. A proven goal scorer.
Portadown were basically our bogey team really this season. With, I think they took 7 points off us, a couple of wins, I think. Paul McIlroy, I don't think he didn't really start the season well. He scored in the first game for us, and then I think that was his only real goal up to January, really. I didn't really expect him to leave, but he just has been phenomenal, really, for Portadown since he signed. If Portadown stayed up, it was really been like a great escape that he was really leading at some point, because I didn't really know where the goals were going to come from for Portadown at some point. And then as soon as he arrived, they just started to come in. That was really, yeah.
Catherine Freelanthony as well, another ex-Ballymena player, but the two of them, and I haven't seen anything that he's maybe extended his stay with Portadown if he does, but surely if they have both of those players leading the line, then you'd expect them to come straight back up.
It's funny you say that. That Portadown side that Niall Curry assembled in January. Actually, quite a lot of Ballymena players there, ex-ones. You had Chris Rogers, Lee Chapman, Cathal Friel, Paul McIlroy. I don't know, that must feel like for Glenavon to play Glen Torren. Like, oh, I remember you and you and you and you.
There's definitely quite a few of them. Well, with Lee Chapman, Chris Rogers, both left the end of last season there. I think Chris Rogers definitely went to Dundella with Niall Curry, didn't he?
And then back up round.
Yeah, I think they followed him. They were crucial, definitely, for that last push there for Portadown. Definitely proved their worth.
Well, it's interesting for them because there's two ways of looking at that going into that championship. And do you go in with a player like McIlroy and he's going to be your talisman, do you unbalance your squad with the idea that it kind of balances you downhill and he'll get the goals? You know, that was probably the debate. When you have your budget, where do you allocate it? And I'm not sitting here looking at all the numbers here, but that's clearly a big investment and a big backing from the board of Portadown that McIlroy wants to be a key player for them. And the question that I was chatting to Portadown people when I was covering the game against Glenavon of, how do you do it? Do you want lots of numbers in midfield or defence or something, or do you slightly unbalance it and go for a big McIlroy and hopefully the rest of it fills out? You know, there's no way that you look at it and go, this is how you get out of the championship. The one thing you usually do is get Niall Curry, because he's gotten out of that division so many times and won it, so he knows what he's doing here. So I'm sure Portadown fans will be like, Niall's at the wheel, you do you.
Yeah, I think that's probably the million-dollar question for Niall as well. Does he continue with the Premiership type of player to win the champ? The Championship is really difficult. It's so competitive. You know, Loughall have done it this year. We've seen, you know, even when Niall Curry was at Dundella in the early stages of the season, they looked like they were going to do well. Anna United, Warren Point, who went down last season and then, you know, had a slow start to the season but then picked it up towards the latter half of the season. So I don't know the answer to that, but Niall Curry will. He'll know exactly what type of player he needs for the championship, because it is a different league and it's a different game and it's just difficult. But then, do you build a championship team for Portadown to compete in the championship with a Paul McIlroy and then have to kind of rebuild if you do go up again? I don't know, but he'll certainly know that answer.
I don't think there's a better player than Paul McIlroy to do it as well, because I do remember it was like his 100th appearance for us was against Coleraine on Boxing Day. I'm nearly sure I looked at his stats and he'd like a goal every three games basically, which is, he's a Premiership player, and if he's staying in the Championship, he'll definitely light the league alight, that's for sure.
Could be a big loss to the league, a player like that. Obviously Warren Point did something similar where they brought in Johnny McMurray that he was hopefully going to spur them on. It hasn't really worked out for him there this season, so interesting to see what other, because I'm sure they'll start coming thick and fast, and now it was about players who have been released, players who have signed on. And you mentioned Loughall, confirmed they got the trophy on Saturday, congratulations to them. They'll be playing Premiership football next season. Will it be at Lakeview Park? Will it be at Mournview Park? We'll have to see. We'll get into registrations in a second, but at the minute it's Mournview, but they're looking to make a few alterations, it seems, and potentially Lakeview is on the cards. If it is Lakeview, I'm sure for both of you, you'll be looking forward to a new, fresh ground to travel to next season.
Oh, definitely, 100%. I haven't been there yet, so I've been to everyone I've been to everyone this season, and then Loughall next season should be a good one. I'm hoping it's at the Lakeview Park, because we don't normally seem to have too much success at Mournview recently, so I think Lakeview would be nice.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see them up. I think when you win the championship in particular, you know, you deserve winners, so it'll be nice to see if they make changes, how many changes can they make? And they, you know, can they maybe add a few Premiership players? Do they start doing business with Portadown now, with, you know, and taking some of their Premiership players? You just don't know how it's all going to work out. But yeah, it'll be nice to see them in the division.
For Loughall, I imagine if there's anybody's homework they're going to steal, it's going to be Newry. That's a squad that had a real base of players who played Championship football, had went up the divisions with them, and then they were picking players there, a real community club there. And absolutely, Loughall will require that extra bit of quality and be able to beef out that squad. How they do that, we'll have to see. But I think Newry has shown that if you get the core of your squad right, you perhaps just need one or two players who will either get the goals or be the flare out wide, and they'll be looking to try and unearth their version of a James Tielan or McGovern. And the way Loughall's been able to build their squad in the Championship over the past 10, 15 years, they've been able to find the gems. They just want to find that other Peter Campbell to use in the Premiership rather than having to send them on elsewhere. And I'm going to let you guys pause for a second because we are going to do the news here, because big news really this week, apart from the cup final, broke last week. And I have to give a massive amount of credit to my guest last week, Keith Bailey of the Belfast Telegraph. He's been such a brilliant resource with this story, and I'll just go over it quickly. So yes, Warm Point have been denied their license to not only play Premiership football, but also Championship football next season. What that means is, well, first and foremost, it's going to go to review. Warm Point are going to appeal this decision to not be awarded a license. I reached out to both the IFA and the Warm Point. IFA have said very publicly they aren't commenting on this case due to the review. Warm Point are also not getting involved in the details of what the situation is here until they get further down the line and they start getting into the legal challenge on the appeal, if it has to go that far. In short, regardless of what the reason why for not getting the license is, if it stands up the way it is, reporting via Keith Bailey in the Belfast Telegraph, not only will Warm Point not be able to play Premiership football, will not be a part of the currently postponed Premiership relegation Championship playoff at Dungannon, they will be playing, by all accounts, in the Premier Intermediate. So they'll be relegated down from the Championship. Again, we haven't got details of what all the ramifications are, but what we do know is that if that is to go that way and they aren't going to be in that playoff, it looks as though Anna is the team that's likely to take that on whenever that happens. The review for this isn't going to take place until next month. Also, the trickle-down impact of that, Knockbreda, who were relegated from the Championship into the PIL, if Warm Point are then taken out of the Championship, instead of Institute having a relegation promotion playoff with Ballymacash, it would then be Knockbreda who would get another chance to survive in the Championship again. This is all through reporting of Keith Bailey. And the other thing going down the line is potentially, if this isn't sorted out, the transfer window, which is set to open in June for Irish League clubs, might also be postponed until we get a decision around this. Something that will go on, and as soon as we get more information, we'll talk about it. But right now, there's nothing really to comment on, but essentially, that are the ramifications at the minute. Warm Point are appealing that decision. And if you are keen to find out some more details on what we can officially say publicly, again, Keith Bailey, he did a brilliant podcast with me last week talking about potentially resetting the leagues below the Irish League. But if you go to his Twitter account, you'll be able to see all the articles that he did there. So, Sunday, it's the big game. Guys, do you have any traditions? Obviously, for you, Gavin, you'll be probably trying to find the same socks and everything else to try and see a repeat of next year. For yourself, Anthony, last year, did you do anything that would be repeating? I don't know. Is there, like, will we be having a big breakfast somewhere? Who will we be travelling down with? What's the plans?
Well, obviously, travelling down the same people as last year. But I don't think there'll be much different. Apart from, well, hopefully it's not a sad occasion afterwards. I'll definitely not be wearing the cup final shirt from last year. it's lucky it survived the bin. Hopefully might go and get the new one for this year, but I think that's really it. Just same as last year, but hopefully for a better result in the end.
I'll be I'm joining the team on the team bus, so we're meeting at Seaview nice and early. And then heading to the game, so get a wee bit of an insight to all of those early stuff. I'll probably not torture anybody and ask them any questions before the game. But and then I think just you have to enjoy the game as best you can. I think all the traditions and the stuff that the after the game, if you're successful, you try not to think about. You can't really plan too much because it just leaves you brokenhearted if you do. So I think just as the game will be it. We just hope it's going to be a great game of football. I don't want it. I'd love an early goal to settle the nerves. I wouldn't want to be in the same. In hindsight, last year was the best way to ever win an Irish Cup final, of course. But if I'm totally honest, and I know the guys at Ballymena, Alan and Anthony, you feel sorry for them as well. There is once it all settles and you're over your celebration, you kind of look at it and think, well, imagine that was us. You would feel pretty dire about it. But on the day, you take it and you enjoy the celebrations of it all. So another massive game of football, but one I think it's going to have a different feel to it than last year. I don't think it's going to be quite as nervy. I think Crusaders could probably get on the front foot and play a lot better than we played last year.
I think it could be quite a physical game. You know, because there are two teams that have a lot of players who have great stock to them, either that be height or how broad they are. And I think in the early stages, both teams will want to show the presence they have, and it could be it'll be a game that'll be won in midfield. Obviously, Crusaders has big players like Laurie and Forsyth, but you know, Ballymena have a bit of physicality too in that area, and I can see if Ballymena can take a hold of the game and not let Crusaders find their flow, find their rhythm, Ballymena will want to press on and try and disrupt Crusaders. Crusaders will want to have space in behind and room to play the ball beyond and try and use the likes of Heatley to try and create space and try and find a yard to pick out a player. I think if I'm looking at it from a Ballymena point of view, it's like start strong and never let them go through the gears. For Crusaders, you're probably right. An early goal, give them something to think about. Try and stretch them out wide and try and find space in the area of this three-man defence. Give me a scenario. Obviously, you guys are not going to give yourself a bad hoodoo and predict the other team win, but give me the scenario. What will we be talking about? How are you going to win it, and who's going to be the hero? Is it going to be another last-minute winner from somebody, or is it going to be a big performance from somebody scoring either a big goal from anywhere in the pitch? Is this the last-minute Sean O'Neill header? Is that what's going to be the drama? Wouldn't that be some story, him wheeling away?
Okay, we'll take it.
I don't think I could stomach another early goal sitting in that 1-0 for 80 minutes or so. So I couldn't do it. The best case scenario, I think, for us definitely would be, you could see how much it meant to Craig Farquhar in the semi-final, him scoring the go-ahead goal against Larne. So I think that would be the best scenario. I think he scores the winner for us, 100%.
A hero was born. Yeah.
Definitely.
Something that I've thought about all week. you're playing out different scenarios. Of I think last season or last year's final, having watched the game back, you know, the next day and probably the day after that, I think one of the Jonathan O'Rourke for me was for Crusaders was him and Jordan Forsyth, just man of the match. I thought Jonathan O'Rourke at left back was super. Leroy Miller for Ballymena gave us loads to think about and was really difficult to mark and to play against. I think for both teams, given that we've both been here last year, you could see a lot of nerves in last year's final in the early stages of the game, the big, you know, the big turnout and the occasion. I think both teams will probably be a wee bit more settled, and you might see a wee bit more calmness and a wee bit more football and maybe a better quality of game. Hopefully, this, as I mentioned at the start, Crusaders in 2011 could be 2-1 by Linfield by a certain David Jeffrey managing the team. And then the revenge mission for Crusaders was followed by a 4-1 defeat. So given we won 2-1 last year, I'm hoping for a 4-1 victory to Crusaders.
I think, speaking on the midfield, I think it will be won or lost in the midfield, especially in the semi-final we had there. Lawrence midfield is probably the best in the league. Like, you've got Leroy Miller, you've got Sule. I think with Leroy Miller didn't really have a kick of the ball the whole game. I think we man-marred them out of it, especially with Sean Graham was man-marred in Sule like the whole time. I think he barely got a kick. I think, well, I know we scored from two set pieces, but the fact we didn't let Lauren play, I think, is the reason we're in the final, which is a big thing. I think we tactically we were superb in the semi-final, just hoping we could do the same.
And you know who has a similar frame and has been just as impactful coming from deep and scoring goals is Philip Lawrie. So if you can just get that game plan, that could be a real winner for you guys. So I think this is going to be like so many storylines going into it, an absolutely fascinating, entertaining game. You obviously have last year's cup final sitting there in the background, but I also think we have the fact that Ballymena was the team that ended that fantastic home run this season against Crusaders. So there's plenty to fight for. Both teams proven they can beat the other. Guys, I really appreciate you jumping on with me this week. It's been a pleasure to have you both on. You've been well up for it and great spirits. If people want to find out more about you, see the things that you do, where can they find yourself, Anthony, online?
Well, just really from the Ballymena YouTubes and the Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. That's really just what I do with the interviews from afterwards, do the match updates during the games. That's really my role, sort of thing. Yeah.
And Gavin, any big TikTok channels we can follow you on?
Nope. I have no control over any of the club's social media stuff. Thankfully, that's not my responsibility. But the Crusaders YouTube channel, the Cruise Cast, if you want to hear some of our podcasts over the past wee while, and the match highlights on the YouTube channel as well there on the commentary. So yeah, that's about it.
Amazing. It's a big day out for the entire league, a big showpiece for us all. So thanks again. I wish you all the best, guys. And
thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It season's over. Well, at least the normal season is over. We have, of course, a bit of the European playoff stuff. We have an Irish Cup final, as you know, and with that there'll also be a bit more news and drama. What this means for Kicking Match, I don't know. Like most things this season, I've just been flying by the seat of my pants. As things goes along, I'm sure we'll have podcasts as it keeps on going. We'll definitely be back next week to review the Irish Cup final and everything else in between. What happens beyond then? I don't know. But if you do want to know what the most up-to-date story is with this podcast and the Irish League, you know the best place to do that? Social media and my other channels like that. So you can follow Kick and Match on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You just got to search for Kick and Match and it's going to be there. You can also listen back to all the previous episodes this year that cover a range of topics. For some reason, if you want to live back the random game week in February, you can do that. We were here pretty much every single week. You can also do that hands-free if you wish. Just tell your smart speaker and say, hey, please play Kicking Match, an Irish League podcast. Thanks for that. Enjoy your long weekend. It's going to be a month full of them. And until next time, and it will be next time, see you soon. Cheerio. See you then.